It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you?
Morena, not too bad, thank you.
That's good to hear. We're, of course, in level three now, which is a big change for the whole country, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Also going to touch on students and some of the support that the government's announced for homelessness as well. But let's start with level three, because that's obviously our new context that we're in. I just wanted to touch on the fact that internationally we've been gaining a lot of attention as a country for the idea that we've eliminated the virus. Could you just explain what that actually means? Yeah, what do we mean when we say elimination, Prime Minister?
Well, first of all, it means that international media, and you can be forgiven for this, and watching our full briefs, elimination, and this means one thing to epidemiologists, and it does, I think, to the way that most people would use it. Our elimination strategy means not that we won't have cases come up. It doesn't mean zero cases. It means zero tolerance for them. It means that every time we see a case, we will test, contact, trace, isolate, in an ongoing effort to stamp out COVID-19. Some countries have what they call suppression strategies. That means that they tolerate its existence, and we're not taking that approach, because we think the best way we can get back to a bit more normal life is for us not to have this persistent, widespread presence of COVID.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, the kind of context since we last spoke to you has changed. We are in level three, which is going to look much the same for many people, but for some businesses who've gone back to work, or people who are able to combine their bubbles with one or two vulnerable family members, maybe this is going to be a bit of a different time. You've said that no one wants to see us go backwards. What do you worry could be some of the challenges for New Zealanders at level three, Prime Minister?
I think one of the challenges, just reminding ourselves that actually there shouldn't be too much difference between level three and level four, really, for many people. We want as many people who can be working from home to still work from home. If you can learn from home, we want you doing that as well. And of course, yes, we are seeing a bit more the ability to engage in retail, but that needs to be contactless. And so, yes, go out and support your local takeaway, or support your local cafe. But just remember, if you're waiting outside to pick up something, that the person standing next to you, imagine if you got a call saying someone nearby you has had COVID. Were you standing at enough distance to keep yourself safe from having to spend another 2 weeks inside? So we just need that level of precaution for people, just to not get too ahead of ourselves. The way I would describe COVID, it's a tricky virus. It really is. It has a really long tail of infection. So there are embers of it still out there, and we just need to make sure we're not allowing it to spark up again.
Well, let's talk a little bit about students. We've seen quite a bit in the media over the last week. Some students have found themselves having to pay holding fees for their rooms and university accommodation under level four and potentially under level three as well. And we've also seen some universities like Massey and Waikato who aren't charging any fees for students during this time. You've said that you hope that universities and their accommodation contractors are going to show compassion towards students. What can the government do if they see that some of these contractors or universities aren't necessarily showing compassion? Do you have any tools?
Yeah, and one of the issues we have is that the arrangements for different campuses. So some universities have commercial contracts between students and halls of residence, and some have sought the wage subsidy and others haven't. So, for instance, some of the campus living villages, which operates, I believe, some of Victoria and AUT and some of Canterbury, have been supported with the wage subsidy through this time. And so therefore you have an expectation that the students wouldn't have to be picking up some of those residual costs. Best thing we can do at the moment, I think, is to help work through a negotiation really here to try and get the best outcome possible, because there are so many varying circumstances around the country.
At a time when we're being encouraged to think about retraining as a country, what would you say to students who feel like they're being the only group in the community that's being required to borrow money or perhaps foot the bill for an uncertain future?
I don't think that is necessarily a fair reflection of everyone's circumstances. What it is true to say is that you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who hasn't been negatively affected by COVID-19. And what we've tried to do is support all of those groups in ways that meet their different circumstances. So students who have been in work, of course, our hope and expectation is that their employers are accessing the wage subsidy and are obliged to pass it on. We've also recognised that students have a whole range of additional needs, so we've increased their capacity to access student loan, but also made sure that they're not impacted negatively by what's happening with their courses, so we've made a number of changes there. But when it comes to students who are renting and otherwise, many people are in those circumstances as well, and we are doing the best we can to make sure that we're supporting them and others.
I just wanted to touch on the government's announcement from 2 days ago that an extra $100 million is going to be part of a COVID action plan towards targeting homelessness in our homeless communities. Now, a lot of the focus of this is on temporary motel accommodation. How's the funding going to be helping long-term solutions as well, Prime Minister?
Well, ultimately, of course, we have programs like Housing First that provide a real wraparound approach to getting our particularly our chronically homeless into long-term accommodation and provides social support alongside it. What we're recognising here, though, is in the immediate response to COVID, we supported agencies and we supported MHUD, our agency, to make sure that people who were rough sleeping, for instance, were immediately housed. What we don't want to see, and that was possible because, of course, we suddenly had a lot of available accommodation as well, particularly in motels. That is not a long-term solution, so we do need to transition people into longer-term housing. But equally, we don't want to see, as we come out of level four, suddenly people just finding themselves homeless again. So it's about making the most of the opportunity we have. We've got people into housing. Let's make it longer-term.
As you've just mentioned, obviously a lot of different people are doing it really hard at the moment, and that's going to have big impacts on people's living situations and also on their financial stability. What are your current thoughts around a universal basic income? We've seen this floated around as an idea by various people over the last few weeks.
Yes, yeah, and it is something that's been around for a number of years. I remember spending quite a bit of time going to seminars and reading about the UBI when I was in opposition. And one of the things that I've been persistently concerned about with a UBI is in order for it to work adequately, and indeed in order for it to work as a replacement for our existing welfare system, it has to have an adequate level of payment. You have to be able to survive on it. And I remember asking someone very early on, how is someone meant to do that at some of the levels that were floated about the UBI at the time? And their response was, well, people can live in shared accommodation. Now, to me, that doesn't come with the necessary prerequisites to ever replace our welfare system. People need to be able to survive. They need to be able to have the dignity of independent living. And so that is one of, I think, the persistent issues with the UBI, making sure it's at a level that if it is your only form of support, that it is adequate. That's not to say there isn't more work for us to do on our welfare state. And, of course, you'll know that since we've had COVID, we've made moves like, for instance, to double the winter energy payment. We've increased the benefit rate, done things that will improve a lot of those who find themselves on government support, but that work needs to continue.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister, and we hope you have a good week, and we'll talk to you again in about a fortnight.
Thanks a lot. Talk soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.